Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read and then you join with me on the even verses going down through verse 12. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. When he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus, and Sosundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These are people that were laboring together with Paul. And we praise God for those names. Amen. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. There sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. May God bless the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, please help us to make the application that you have for us today. I don't know everyone's need, but you do. I don't know if everyone is even a born-again Christian that's here today, or maybe joining us online. But you know every heart. Please, Lord, may your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. The theme that God has laid on my heart from these verses of Scripture this morning is the theme, keep moving forward and stay faithful. Keep moving forward and stay faithful. I have found this many times in the life of Anchor Baptist Church, and that is that when we have a big event, an anniversary, last week, the missions conference, we met together Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know if anybody met together on Thursday, but anyway. And then Friday, we had the RU meeting. And then yesterday, we were out delivering some door hangers, and here we are today. And if we're not careful, what can happen is we can go through all of these things, and then we can maybe be at ease. And maybe, yes, it's fine to rest, and we do need to rest. The Bible talks about that. But best place we can rest is in Jesus, amen? And rest in Him. It's not up to me to build the church. It's not the pastor's job. By the way, it's not your job either to build the church. No, it's the Lord's job to build the church. And we're the hands and we're the feet, but He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so that's where we don't rest in ourselves. It's not our labor. It's not our work. It's not our enabling that gets the job done. It's the Lord working through us. But we can come through times like this, if we're not careful, though, and we can say, okay, now that that is done, and it's time to take a break. And yes, rest is fine, but it's never time to take a break. The Word of God needs to be opened every day in our life. Never take a break from the Word of God. Every morning or every afternoon or every evening, whenever you get the Word of God out, get it out, pray, and ask the Lord to guide you as you read the Word of God and study the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, because moving forward is the key. Staying faithful is the key. It isn't for the church. It isn't for the pastor. No, it's for the glory of God. And in the life of Paul, we can see in a journey, one right after the other. This is his third missionary journey. And without a doubt, we have found in studying the book of Acts that opposition comes. Opposition comes. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But what, another thing that we can find, before I get ahead of myself, from the book of Acts that I've observed, and I'm sure you have as well, is that Paul had a love for the church. Paul had a love for the church, so much so that Paul wanted to equip the church to be everything that she could be. We believe the church is the bride of Christ. And to equip the church, and by the way, we are the church today. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not chairs and pews. You and I that are saved, born-again believers, we are the church. And praise God for that. And Paul loved the church so much. He wanted to extend himself for the church. He wanted to extend himself for others. Let's take a look at a few verses of Scripture as we get into this. Hold your place in Acts. We'll be back there in a few minutes. And turn to Philippians chapter 2. I just want you to notice from the Word of God the heart of the Apostle Paul, who is written about by Luke. We believe Luke to be the author of the book of Acts, Dr. Luke, and that's who he's writing about in these lessons all the way through. Philippians chapter 2. And look, if you will, please, with me at verse number 17. Yea, and if I be offered, notice the wording, upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Notice that word, if I be offered. Paul is saying, I'm willing to make myself a sacrifice. I'm willing to extend myself. And notice what he said after the service of your faith. Notice what offering himself brings him. He said, I joy. But he didn't just say, I joy. He said, I joy and rejoice. Kind of a double emphasis there that Paul is saying that it's not a chore. Yes, there is a burden, and yes, there is a load, and we'll look at that, but it's not a chore. It doesn't bring me sadness and it's not a grief or cumbersome. I'm missing the word I want there. But he says, no, to be offered is to bring me joy. In other words, when he's thinking about others, we know the word joy, right? Have you ever heard that? J-O-Y. Jesus is first. Is Jesus first in your life? A little bit of ringing here, Brother Tim. I'm not sure if it's just me, but it feels maybe my head's ringing. And if I will, I'll answer it, okay? Hello, anybody there? Anyway, Jesus is first. Others is second. J-O and then Y, that's yourself or you. Jesus, others, and you. And when you have that and we live that way, guess what we have, Brother Alex? We have joy. We have joy. Hey, if we live for ourselves first, we're not going to have joy. We're not going to have peace. I mean, no, we got to put ourselves aside. That doesn't mean that we don't do anything for ourselves, because there is a why in the letter joy. We do need to take care of ourselves. We do need to get in the Word of God and have rest and so forth. But it's always Jesus first, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so Paul said, I rejoice when I'm offered for you. And may that be our prayer, and may that be our testimony as well within the family of God. I rejoice that I can pray for you, and you rejoice that you can pray for. So we rejoice that we can pray for Brother Jose going on a mission trip to Argentina. We rejoice that we can pray for Sister Ina, and I hope you're praying for her, and I know you are. And we rejoice in that, and we rejoice in all of the other requests. Missionary John LaBelle, I believe he's home now from the hospital. Wow, we rejoice in that. And this is a burden that we carry together, but it's not burdensome in the sense that it's bothersome. That's the word I want. It's not bothersome to us. No, it brings us great joy to take that prayer page and pray for our missionaries and pray for their needs and pray for their ministry. That's the heart of Paul. Look quickly, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians, just a few pages back, 1 Thessalonians and the second chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we see there in verse number 9, 1 Thessalonians 2, 9. Again, this is a letter. This is a letter written to the Christians at Thessalonica. And Paul says in verse 9, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail." There you go. Look at those two words. Relation to the church, there's labor and there's travail. That ought to be in Anchor Baptist Church, and it's there. It is here, but we want more of it. And I say we. I want more of it in my life. I can only speak for me. You have to speak for yourself. I want more labor. I want to labor for the Lord more. I want to travail in prayer more for the glory of God and for the help of the family of God. And Paul said we labor and travail for, notice again, laboring. In other words, church is not just coming to church on Sunday and that's it. That's not the church. This is the getting the orders from headquarters, if you will. This is taking the word of God. This is, it's vital, it's important, but it doesn't end. This is the, hey, let's go. It's Sunday, and we're going to talk about that in a minute too. It's Sunday, we gather together because that's what we read in the Word of God. We gather together on the first day of the week. But this is not the end of the laboring and the travailing, if anything. This is saying, okay, let's go out into this world Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We've got the message of the gospel. We've got the message of hope. Let's go out into this world and labor and travail. Pray. And Paul says, it was day and night. See that? Laboring night and day. Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses. And God also, how holily and justly and unblamably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Paul loved the church. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 28. Just one more and then we'll be back to our text. But I believe these are helpful to us today. And remember that this isn't just, we don't read the Bible for information only. Brother Nathan, I want to be careful about them writing on that desk. That desk is just, I'm sorry, but I got to say something. That desk does not belong to us, so probably shouldn't be doing that. Thank you. Sorry about that. We don't read the Bible for information. We read the Bible for transformation. Okay? You can get information everywhere. It's all over. www.information.com. I don't know. It's probably there. Maybe don't go to that website. I don't know because it might not be a good one. I've never been there. But you know what I'm saying? Information is everywhere. But I don't need just information. You don't need just information. No, we need to be changed. And when we read the Word of God, there is no book like the Bible. It brings change to us. And so I'm thankful for that. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Paul said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, what's that word? Daily. Daily. The care of all the churches. I see in the Apostle Paul a man who is deeply concerned, not just on Sunday, but every day. I'd like more of that in my heart. You know, as a pastor, I'm not saying this for any reason, but just to share a little bit of my heart with you. And it's something that I don't do the best of what I want to do. I'm praying to be more of an under-shepherd, more sensitive, the leading of the Lord, and meeting your needs as through the Word of God. God meets your needs, but you know what I'm saying, right? But when you're a pastor, this is what it is right here. It's daily. And by the way, it's not a complaint. But it's really to share that with you, and probably you already know that, but that you would pray. It's one reason why you should pray for myself and Pastor Nathan every day as we labor together and we labor together with you, with the Lord. By the way, I'm so honored and so thankful to be an under-shepherd, and I take it very seriously. It's very humbling. And even to think about, you know, last week we have services every night and you know, it's a long week. I'm not saying that about me. I'm saying that about people that worked all day and then came to church at night, even if only one night. It's a long week, and I recognize that, and I know that it's not about just the under-shepherd, but it's about all of us. But here Paul says specifically, the care of the churches is a burden. But I don't look at it as a complaint. I believe I look at it, as I read it, as a deep concern for the churches. Why did Paul love the church? I believe Paul loved the church because he loved Jesus Christ. We just read that earlier today, 1 John 5:1. Would you turn over there? And then we're going to get to our text, okay? This is the introduction, but we'll get to the text here in a minute. 1 John 5. And I'm not trying to go till midnight, okay? Just in case you're wondering. Maybe till noon, 12 hours before midnight. 1 John 5. We read it a moment ago, but let's look at it one more time. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you're saved, that's it. That's you. That's me. But notice it says, and everyone that loveth him that begat. So everyone that loves God, it says, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So who started the church? This was not my idea. This was not your idea. This was born in the heart of God. And the church started with Jesus Christ and his disciples. So, it wasn't my plan. It wasn't your plan. And so, the Bible here says, if we love God, then we love what God loves or what God has born. So, Paul loved the church because Paul loved the Lord and Paul loved the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we love the church more? We love God more. That's how it works. Let's get into this text, okay? Turn back to Acts chapter 20, please. And I have some things that I believe God will use in his word, and I trust this introduction would just help us as we look at it. Paul continued on this mission that God had for him. He continued faithfully. He kept moving forward. So let's look at number one, Paul's faithfulness. Number one, Paul's faithfulness. We see that in verses 1 to 6. As we think about the faithfulness of Paul, what we must remember about these journeys is that Satan always gives and provides resistance. Satan is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is not excited in the least bit about what Anchor Baptist Church is desiring to do and be ascending church. I hope you'll pray with me about that beyond a missions conference. And I think it might be something that God is challenging us about for our theme for 2022. I don't have that picked out yet. God hasn't led me to that, but that's just right on the heart. Ascending church. And remember, ascending church is not just sending someone to Uganda, although that's part of it. But ascending church could be sending someone across the street in the neighborhood that you live in and I live in. It could be sending someone to the person at Walmart with a gospel tract that we're going to meet this week. It could be sending someone to the place of employment. We had a visitor here this morning from someone's place of employment. Co-workers. Praise the Lord for that. That's encouraging. That's what we're talking about. And being ascending church, it is not just about the world. It's about our country that we live in. And how many of us would not agree today that Canada needs many Christians to be bold for Jesus Christ and to have a level of compassion that only God can give them? And that's exactly what this is all about here, that we go from here with what we hear and we meditate and we think about it and we give it to someone else. That's what it's all about. So that's what we find here, that Paul was faithful. What we find here, that Satan provides resistance. Notice what it says in verse number 1. After the uproar was ceased. That would be referring back to chapter number 19 when Demetrius was not all in a bit impressed. He was not all in a bit impressed with the preaching of Paul, and it was doing a disservice to his business. Remember we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about the little gods and the things that he makes, and they would sell. There was not just him, there was many others, but there were so many people getting saved, and they would stop worshiping Diana, and so they weren't buying those souvenirs anymore. There was great opposition there. We won't re-preach that today, but Satan provides resistance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The faithfulness of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we read there in verse number 8. It says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." Sometimes we do wait. We need to wait. Amen. We do need to wait on the Lord. Look at verse 9, please. "For a great door and effectual is" what? "Opened unto me." You ever heard someone say, "I'm praying for God to open a door. I'm praying for God to close the door." It's fine. That's kind of what's this where that comes from. There's an open door. But let's look at the next statement. "And there are many," what's that? "Adversaries." Adversaries. What does that mean? Enemies. Opponents. So just because we see, there's an open door. Anchor Baptist Church, here's an open door. We're going to move forward. We're going to go through that door. It doesn't mean that Satan and his demons just gets out of the way and says, go right ahead. Open door, have at it. No. They're standing right there, possibly, in front of that open door. And they're saying, okay, if you want to go through the open door, you're going to have to go through us first. Guess what Jesus said? "The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I will build my church," Jesus said, "and the gates of hell will not prevail." What's that saying? It's saying that we're going into, not literally hell, but we're going into the domain of the devil. You realize that this world is the domain of the devil. You can't see it right now, but I mean, we pray every Sunday morning, "God, put a hedge around this church. God, put your angels around this church. God, protect this building," not just for Anchor Baptist, but there's another church using it tonight. And we say, "God, put your angels around this church," because the devil doesn't want anything accomplished when the word of God is going forth. He wants to stop it. And we're charging ahead, and that's what that means in Matthew there. It's we're charging ahead into the domain of the devil, and we aren't able to defeat him. But with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, we can have great victory, and the gates cannot prevail against the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grateful for that. Be grateful for that. We are not a defeated people. As Christians, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, and we are on the winning side. But it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a battle. It doesn't mean that the enemy's just going to roll over and play dead. The enemy doesn't do that. Caleb and I saw a raccoon today on the way to church along the side of the road, and we still don't know what was wrong. There were multiplicity of possibilities, but he was laying in the gravel, and it didn't look good, but it could have been he was rubbing his back. That's what Caleb said, and I appreciated his analogy was more positive than mine. Mine was immediately, he didn't quite make it across the road. But Caleb's was, maybe he had an itchy back and he was scratching his back. I'm praying that he won't be there when we get back, and that's all he was doing. But anyway, you know what? That's when we try to go forward through an effectual and open door, there's many adversaries. You know, when those critters try to cross the road, I don't know what they're thinking, but they might think, okay, now's the time to go. You know what, we as God's people, we need to wait on the Lord and tarry as he did at Ephesus, but realize that even when the door opens and we move forward by faith, opposition will be there. But again, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Verse 3 tells us, look back in our text what it says in verse 3, "And their abode," Acts 20 in verse 3, and their abode 3 months, "and when the Jews laid wait for him." Okay, let me tell you what this was not. This was not for Paul to sign the copy of their Torah. Hello, preacher Paul, can you sign our Torah? No, that's what it wasn't for. I think, personally, they were laying in wait for him to silence him. We've heard enough of this Paul. He's caused us enough trouble. Again, we say that Satan provides resistance. He provided it for the religious crowd. He provided it from the crowd for the money-making crowd, if you will. So we see, number one, the faithfulness of Paul. Number two, we see the early church was faithful. The early church was faithful. Paul is met by a group of believers when he arrives at Troas. Verse number 6 tells us that. Let's see several things that they were faithful in the early church. Number one, the early church was faithful to assemble. They were faithful to assemble. I ask you this today, just as a parenthetical question, do we want to be a New Testament church? Just so you know, the answer is yes. We want to be a New Testament church. Okay? That doesn't mean that we have everything how they did it at that time in the sense of what they had as tools for the gospel. We have a lot different tools today that they did not have then. They still had tools then, but we have different tools. Doesn't mean we can't use these tools as a means of getting the gospel out. But we do want to follow the New Testament church. And notice what they did. Number one, they assembled. Look at verse 7. And I want to help you with something here, not from me, but from the Lord. And I hope it'll challenge us all. But notice it says the first day of the week. The first day of the week. The disciples came together. A disciplined learner. A disciple. A disciple could be someone who seeks to grow in grace. By the way, I hope if you're saved today, that's your desire. Grow in grace. You know, I got saved when I was 9 years old. I'm now 48. That's a long, too many years ago to count. In April, every year, is when my anniversary for getting saved. But you know what? I still need to grow in grace. I still need more of God's word. I still need to be more obedient. I still need to be more faithful. I have everything of the Holy Spirit I can get, but sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of me. That's why it says be filled with the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit of God control us. But we see that they met on the first day of the week. Maybe you know the name Ellen G. White. If you don't, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But Ellen G. White is the person responsible for starting the Seventh-day Adventist group. I'd like to read to you what Ellen G. White says about this. To us, as to Israel, the Sabbath is given for a perpetual covenant. To those who receive His holy day, the Sabbath, is a sign that God recognizes them as His chosen people. Sabbath being Saturday. This is my insert. She is saying the people who meet on the Sabbath are the chosen people, the others are not. Just in case you forgot what day it is, this is not Saturday. This is another quote. The sign or seal of God is revealed in the observance of the seventh day Sabbath. The mark of the beast is the observance of the first day of the week. We got a real problem with that, don't we? Okay? And it's not we have a real problem with that. It's the Bible that has a real problem with that. Upon the first day of the week. Pastor, why do we meet on the first day of the week? Well, we see the pattern in New Testament church history. And also, we know from our reading in the Bible that Jesus Christ arose from the grave on the first day of the week. So every time that we meet on the first day of the week, we are not just commemorating on, let me go back, when we meet for Easter, okay? Let's just use that. I'm not criticizing that necessarily. I'm just saying that that's not the only time that Christians celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. Right now, today, we are here saying, He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Every Sunday. Next week, if we're still alive, He is risen. He is risen. And so we're following the pattern of the New Testament church. 1 Corinthians 16. Let's see what Paul says there about the collection. We're not reading this to speak about the collection itself, but here, that's the text and that's the foundation of it. And you know, I've talked to people from the Seventh-day Adventist church, Seventh-day Adventist group. I've tried to be cordial, and we should always try to be cordial to people. We don't have to be obtuse and mean and everything. Let's just give the word of God. This is why I meet on Sunday. Do you know why? In other words, not because Pastor Turner said so. Be able to go in the Bible and show someone, this is why I meet on Sunday. And again, we're not giving you this to just store it away and never use it. You might need it. That's what the church is to do. Equip us to go be sent with truth. Paul said in verse 1 of chapter 16, 1 Corinthians, Now concerning the collection for saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. First day of the week. Let's get in this thing that this is not the weekend. Okay? I get caught up in that too. Oh, the weekend's here. No. Not on Sunday. The week ended yesterday. So when the weekend, yeah, Saturday's the weekend. This is the beginning of the week. This is the beginning of the week. And for Christians, it is a glorious day. We call it the Lord's Day. Amen? The Lord's Day. And praise the Lord for that. So they were faithful to assemble. Number two, they were faithful to worship. They were faithful to worship. Now, part of the worship that they observed, if you notice there in verse number 7, it says they came together, okay, they assembled, but notice what they did. A couple of things. They broke bread. You see that there? Acts 27. Likely this is referring to not having, you know, sandwiches after church, okay? This is likely referring to the Lord's Supper. This is likely referring to that time where we, as a church, and we still do, we'll have it again here soon, definitely before the end of the year. But let's turn over and see something. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm showing you this today because, again, we want to be like the New Testament church. But we want to be like Christ, first and foremost, but then we want to follow the example that are set before us. Why do we do what we do? We want it to come back to God's Word, right? We do have some traditions sometimes that aren't necessarily wrong, but they're not necessarily biblical. But we're not going to build a doctrine on a tradition. But it doesn't mean all traditions are wrong, okay? But when we start talking about doctrine and we start talking about things like that, we don't want that built on tradition. We want that built on truth. You have to be careful. We build things on tradition, it can crumble in a heartbeat. But if we build things on truth, guess what? It'll stand forever. Remember the wise man? He built on the rock, and the rock stood firm. Foolish man built on the sand, right? What happened when the storm came? It went splat, right? From Sunday school. All right, you remember that one? 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look at verse 24. Let's read 23 as well. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. You catch that? Paul received of the Lord that which he delivered unto the church. Paul did not have something that you have right now in your possession. Paul did not have a Bible. Not like this. Wasn't done yet. He didn't have the full Bible. Right? Praise God, we have a more sure word of prophecy right here. But he's saying, I'm not giving you what I'm telling you. He's saying, I'm giving you what God gave me. And by the way, that's what a church is supposed to do. That's the premise of everything we want here at Anchor Baptist Church. We want it to be from the Lord. RU is built on the principles of the Word of God. By the way, if you know somebody that is struggling in an addiction, could you talk to Pastor Nathan today before you leave and say, I have a friend who's struggling with an addiction. What can I do? How can I help them? Please talk to him. I would dare say many of us know someone that could be helped by that. Maybe we're that someone. You say, Pastor, I'm not addicted to anything. Well, you'd be surprised what you or I might be addicted to. It may not be a cigarette, may not be a joint, may not be a can of beer, but we have addictions. We have sinful, stubborn habits. Right? Right, we do. All of us. I'm just saying, all we're going to do is say, let's see how we can get victory from the Word of God. Notice what it says. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Right, possibly that's what they were doing. I'm of the belief that that's what was happening here when it talks about they were breaking bread. They were worshiping. Thirdly, what were they doing? They were preaching God's word. They wanted Paul to preach the word of God, and that's what it says. They came together, they assembled, they broke bread, and they heard preaching. Verse number 7, Paul preached unto them. This was his last day. He was headed out the next day, that's what it says. So much so that he kept preaching until midnight. Now, I don't know what time the service started. We really don't have a complete listing of that. So I don't know if they were a 10 a.m. or an 11 a.m. start, but possibly they met later in the day, okay? But who knows, right? But we do know that to be the case. Notice in verse 9, so much so that it says that Paul's preaching was long preaching. See that there? Verse 9, long preaching. Martin Lloyd-Jones is someone who I've enjoyed reading. And I would encourage you, if you get a hold of any of his books, to read him. He's a tremendous penman. It's been used by God. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, as preaching, this is a quote, as preaching has waned, meaning it's lessened, the emphasis, there has been an increase in the formal element of the service. He said the manner of receiving the people's offerings has even been elaborated. The minister and the choir now enter the building as a processional. Still more on the increase is the element of entertainment in public worship. The use of films and more singing. On top of this, the giving of testimonies. You can find an admiral, or I'm just quoting him, you can find an admiral or a general or anyone who has some special title, or a baseball player of all times to read that quote, or an actress or an actor, get them to give their testimony. This is desired and to be of much greater value. This is what Martin Lloyd Jones assessed. And by the way, that's not right now. That assessment would have been given decades ago, by the way. So think about what may have transpired in the last several decades since this quote was made. And yet the Bible still says that the foolishness of preaching is what confounds them that are wise. And again, it is not the preacher, but it is the message. It can be someone who today, I just can't stop moving around, but or it could be someone that just stands behind the pulpit and gives the message that God has delivered them. It could be someone who raises their voice or someone who talks in the same tone of voice. Doesn't matter. It's the preaching of the Word of God. It could be someone like Paul. I would imagine Paul. I can only imagine Paul going into these synagogues as he did every time that he went into a city. The first place he would go would be to the synagogue, and he would begin to teach and preach the Word of God. I don't know. I just kind of see Paul walking in these places for some reason and people just stopping and listening. I don't think it was because of Paul. I think it was because of the message that God had given Paul that he was giving. But it says that they heard the preaching of the Word of God, verse 7. Lastly, number 3. So we see Paul's faithfulness. We see the church's faithfulness. But last, but most importantly, we see the faithfulness of God. And a very interesting scene here. A very interesting scene. It's a 3-level place of meeting. Now, in the higher you go in a building or like a meeting area, the higher you go, what happens? The warmer it gets. The warmer it gets, right? Heat rises, right? So, obviously, this was a little not kind of place that we would be meeting in today, a little less probably accessible for air, all that would go into it. And it's midnight. And the Bible tells us that in the window, quite a place to be seated, there's a man named Eutychus. I said in the first service that there, if there's anything I can say that I'm like Paul in, there's at least one. Putting people to sleep during preaching. Okay, that's the only thing I have with Paul. I'm just kidding. And so Eutychus falls asleep. I mean, it's midnight. Who can blame the guy, you know? And he's up in the top. And I mean, he you know, I've fallen asleep in church before. It's happened. It's been a long time since that's happened because I'm always standing now. It keeps me awake. But here this guy falls asleep. He falls out of the window. Look at verse number 9. And he fell down from the third loft. Wow. Boom. Lights out. He's gone. Verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him. And embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Verse 12, and they brought the young man alive. A miracle. A miracle. And I say God's faithfulness, but, you know, God's faithful regardless, but I see God's faithfulness here. I was beginning to kind of think and meditate on this. Why did this even get in the Bible? Now, I'm not questioning God, but I'm just saying, remember, the Bible says of itself that if everything was put in there, there would be not enough room to record it all. And so we got what we needed to get from God, and whatever else we didn't get is fine. But I think about this, and I think, okay, a guy falls out of the window and dies, and Paul raises him back. And I think, okay, one thing we could say is that, once again, God was using, in the early church, they didn't have the scriptures like we have, and so God was using miraculous things along the journey. Paul had already healed people. Other people had already been healed by the disciples. And so that sign gift of healing, does God still heal today? Of course he does. Of course he does. But we see early on in the church, and then what you're going to find, the further you get into the church, that doesn't happen anymore. And so I personally think this could be what is happening here, is it's, again, one of those sign gifts that God is putting his stamp of approval on the church. He's putting his stamp of approval on the Apostle Paul. But then I began to think about it kind of in a different way. Here's a man who walked into church alive, died, and was brought back to life. And I began to think about it this way. How many Sundays does somebody walk into church dead? How do you walk into church dead, Pastor? Oh, I'm not talking about on the outside. I'm talking about on the inside. How many Sundays in the 20-plus years of Anchor Baptist Church has somebody walked into the Cameron Rec Center? Has somebody walked into the Best Western? You won't walk into the Best Western anymore. If you walk in there right now, it's a pretty big drop, by the way, so be ready for that one. And that hole is really getting dug pretty big there. How many Sundays does somebody walk into the Executive and walk into New West Community and now for a bit of time, even the tents out here, and now here we are? How many times has somebody walked in dead? What do you mean dead? I mean dead. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means somebody without Christ is dead in their trespasses and sins, the Bible says. You might be here today, your eyes are open, you're breathing, you have somewhat of a pulse, but you're dead. Meaning this, if you died right now, you would not go to heaven because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It has nothing to do with baptism. These two men that came up here, a young man and a man, they got baptized, but they didn't get saved because they got baptized. This was a picture of what God had already done on the inside. The picture of what Jesus did for them in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But I praise God. I praise God for many, many Sundays when people walked in dead and left alive. You know the difference? They found Jesus. They didn't find religion. They didn't find a baptismal tank. They didn't find some rosary beads. They didn't find whatever. No, they found hope in Jesus Christ. And so I look at this and I think, let's flip it around. Here's a guy who walked in alive, died, and came back to life. I'm praying that God would give us many more dead people to come to Anchor Baptist Church so they can hear about Jesus. Not hear about me or hear about you, but hear about Jesus. So they can be saved and being alive and be on their way to heaven. And so they can do the same thing that we should be doing, and that is being sent with the truth of the gospel. So I believe God is faithful. He's faithful to save anyone who would ask. You need to be saved today? All you have to do is ask. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm looking at many, many people, and I know your testimony, and you're saved and on your way to heaven. Be thankful for the faithfulness of God that he's saving today. But I also know that not everyone, possibly even in this room or someone joining us online, might be sitting in a chair in a home, but you're dead. You might be sitting in a chair here or standing or whatever, and you're dead. You need to be saved. Oh, I'm so thankful that we have a message of hope. Same message Paul had. Message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? We continue to move forward faithfully. The example of Paul. Not a perfect man at all. No. He loved the church because he loved Christ. We need to love Christ more. We love God more. Love the Lord Jesus more. We'll love everything else more that we need to love.